The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for the Music Room on WVUD.
And good evening, everybody. It's Mando Richard here with the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 in Newark. And tonight, we've got a special treat. I think he's going to he's out in Denver, Colorado right now. I think guitarist Jim Hurst is going to join us. And we're going to talk a little bit about his music and his career. And I think you'll find just what a nice guy he really is. But before we get going with talking to him, and while I'm trying to push all the right buttons, we're going to listen to one of his tracks. We're going to listen to something from his brand new CD called Looking Glass. And this is The Preacher and the Bear on WVUD.
Bill the preacher, he went out a-hunting. It was on one Sunday morn. It was against his religion, but he took a shotgun along. He got him a mess of mighty fine quail and one little measly hare. And on his way returning home, he met a great big grizzly bear. Well, the bear jumped out in the middle of the road, and the preacher jumped out on the limb. Cast his eyes to the Lord in the skies, and these words said to him,
"Oh Lord, you delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Also delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale at the end. The Hebrew children from the fiery furnace for the good book to declare. Now, oh Lord, if you can't help me, please don't help that big old bear."
Sing it back.
Jim Hurst said, "Thanks a lot, Mac Wiseman." I say, "Thanks a lot, Jim Hurst." You got to say
something.
There you go. You got to say something so the folks know you're there.
Well, I am here. I'm not there. I'm over here. I'm in Colorado today.
Jim Hurst, who's makes his home now in the Nashville area, has been playing music professionally for decades, and we're thrilled to have you on. I tell you, at the Delaware Valley Bluegrass Festival this past Labor Day weekend, you know, there are all these bands out there on stage. Now comes this guy who looks like an Amtrak conductor or you know, a butcher or the manager, you know, at the produce section with his guitar all by himself. And you just had everybody in the palm of your hands. It was just such a great set.
Well, thanks, Richard. It was fun, man. You know, music lovers and musicians get along really well if they're put in the same place together. And the Delaware Valley folks, the friends of Brandywine, all those folks over there, they really believed in me enough to put me on the main stage, you know, bring me into their festival. And I'm honored and privileged. And then the folks in the audience just made me feel at home. It was really wonderful.
Well, the title of your 2012 CD is Intrepid. And that's a lot politer than the phrase I was using to describe it. It was like, man, that takes balls to get out there on that stage all by yourself after all these bands been playing.
Well, I don't know. I guess it does take a certain amount of courage, but I think it does even if you have a band. I mean, you know, the courage is not, I think we all have confidence to do what we do. The courage is hoping that we'll please the audience and the promoters who brought us in, you know, the organizers, and then have fun while we're doing it. It's what we love to do is perform and play music, and doing it in front of such a great audience. You know, it didn't take, once I got past the first or second song, it was downhill from there because everybody made me feel like I belonged there. You know, and that's what you hope for.
Well, you absolutely did. Now, let's tell the folks about the song we open up the show with, and this is from your latest CD, Looking Glass. That's mm-hmm. you and old Mac Wiseman doing The Preacher and the Bear.
That's a fun song. It's a real old song. Richard, it comes from actually around 1900, 1901, and it's kind of a vaudeville. It comes from a vaudeville area kind of thing. And there's been other people recorded, including aspect of the name. I can't, Harris, Phil Harris.
Mm-hmm.
He recorded it back in, I think, in the mid-50s, maybe early 60s. Of course, Mac recorded it in 1959, and my dad used to sing that song around the house. But there's a lot more words to that song than what I included on my version. But those words were a little off-color to me. And the last thing I want to do is offend anyone. But I'll tell you what, getting the opportunity to go over to Mac Wiseman's home, because he doesn't go to the studio anymore, and to sit there and listen to him tell some tales and open that mouth and that voice come out of there, just he was so delightful to deal with and to be around, and he was gracious enough to agree to do this with me. And I just can't tell you what an honor it is. I mean, I've been listening to Mac since I was a little bitty guy.
Well, I think I was reading somewhere that in your home growing up in Ohio, that your family wouldn't just listen to Flat and Scruggs and Reno and Smiley. You'd sing along and play along on the old record player.
Yeah, my dad was, the patriarch of any of the music that we have done in our families. And I'm the only one to try to do it as a living. Everybody else just did it around home. My older brother is 8 years older than me. He played aboard ship when he was in Vietnam War, when he was in the Navy. He also played at college. And every time he would come home, either from break from college or on leave from the Navy, he would show me some new stuff. So I learned from him. But initially, it was my dad and his next oldest brother doing duets like, Johnny and Jack and the Lubin Brothers and the Domo Brothers, and the Blue Sky Boys. And they also did, traditional country, Carter Family, Jimmy Rogers, Jimmy Skinner, things like that. And so my sisters sang. They never played anything. Mom, she sings, but she won't let anybody hear anybody. And then my younger brother plays and sings, but none of them wanted to do this for a living. And part of it is because there's a lot of travel involved. And in travel, as much as I love it, there are people who don't much care for it, including my family. So it was a wonderful way to learn about music, is being in a home where they loved all kinds of music, and I was a product of that.
As we began our discussion, we indicated that you're out in the Denver area. What the heck are you doing out there?
Well, I'm out here doing a tour. I started out in Fort Collins, went over to Glenwood Springs. Fort Collins is north of Denver. I went to Glenwood Springs, which is out west. I played Parker, Colorado, which is south of the Denver airport, southeast of Denver. Today I'm in Golden, and Friday I'm in Colorado Springs doing the Black Rose Acoustic Society, and then Saturday I'm back in Denver doing the Swallow Hill Music Association, and then I fly home on Sunday.
You squeeze in a little bit of recording while you're out there?
No, not this time. I did do some guitar workshops. I'm doing one for Black Rose and one for Swallow Hill. I did one in Parker, and I've done some private lessons, but no recording this time.
I think the next time I know of you being in our area is going to be this spring, in April. Is that right? For one of Steve Breitman's house concerts and workshops?
That's exactly right.
He said that you guys are negotiating the date still. He said it might be April 11th, it might be another date. But I know people just, if you're a guitar player at all, you should try to arrange to go out to that concert. Go to the workshop that morning, and you will not be disappointed.
Thank you, Richard. That's kind. I have a good time, man. And, I grew up, a lot of folks would come over and pick with my dad and my brother, and I was old enough to, I started playing guitar when I was 4, but I got probably more serious at it at 6 or 7. And then they would come over, so I learned how to play mandolin from my dad and banjo from a friend of mine, or a friend from, family friends. And there was a dobro player that come over and a bass player would come over. So I learned, by being around a lot of pickers, at least in Toledo, Ohio, there weren't a whole lot of bluegrass pickers, but we seemed to find a bevy of them. And so we would, once a month or every 6 weeks or something, they would come over to my dad's house, and he would sit there and sing and play some guitar with them, and they let this young little snotty-nosed kid play their instruments. It was a really good place to be and a good place to learn music, how to play.
Well, I like how you said you didn't get serious until about age 6 or 7.
Yeah, I was probably dragging it around like a blanket or a tennis racket or something, a ladder or a sled, at 4 years old. I don't know. But Mom's got a picture of me in the floor holding an E-chord with my dad's guitar laying on his back in the floor, and I had it on my legs holding an E-chord. And then that following Christmas is when I got my first guitar.
Oh, that's just too much. Well, before I die laughing, let's talk a little bit about the next track we're going to play, which is from your 2012 CD, Intrepid. I've picked out here Dew on the Mountain, if you don't mind. It's a song that just tells such a great story, and when I heard you play it at Del Valle, it just captured my imagination.
Well, you know, that seems to be one of the favorites on that album. I think it's got that, first of all, the sentiment of the words is pretty cool, but it also has that kind of, I don't know, somewhere between the Carter Family and Doc Watson kind of feel. And I think some of that's missing nowadays in country music especially. But, you know, there's some bluegrass artists that do it. But, you know, I feel like that kind of feel is one of my favorite things. I mean, my dad and mom, they wrote another song on the Intrepid CD called Through the Garden. And that was a lot of their influence was the Carter Family and Mother Mabel Carter. So a friend of mine, Bob Gregory, wrote that song. And as far as I know, there's no truth to any of it as far as any relationship to him. It's Big Newton of his imagination, but I like the song too. So thanks for picking that one out.
Here we go. Dew on the Mountain from Jim Hurst's Intrepid CD on the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.
Grandma came from Vicksburg, family old and proud. Her coffee'd wake a dead man, her biscuits were like clouds. Grandpa came from Pittsburgh, never knew his dad. A broken heart, old stories, and a fiddle was all he had. It was at a dance in 28, she was graceful as a deer. When he saw her smile, he heard a melody so clear. She's like the dew on the mountain, sweet as the rain. And if she ever goes away, I hope she'll come right back again, come right back again. Her parents didn't like him, they say he drank.
And those dulcet guitar sounds that are closing that set belong to our guest today, Jim Hurst. And that was Dew on the Mountain from his 2012 CD, Intrepid. That's just such a great song, Jim.
Thank you, Richard. I really love that song, too. I asked Bob to let me record it, and he said, sure. That was pretty easy. Then now, I had to do it with one guitar and, you know, one voice and try to do it, make it sound like I wrote it or helped him come up with it, but it was actually a borrowed. I pay him royalties to let me put it on my CD.
Well, it just captured my imagination when I heard you play it there that evening at must have been the Saturday night, so must have been the August 30th this past year. I got something that else has captured my imagination. I just have to ask you, is your nickname really Guido?
No, it's actually Guido.
Forgive me.
Nickname. No, that's okay. Some people call it Guido. You know, it's the Italian, you know, mafia guy, right? But, you know, where that comes from, if you've got a minute, my brother and I, when we were still in school, this is back in the 1900s, we're sitting watching this late-night movie. We should have been in bed, but neither one of us was sleepy. So we're up watching some gangster movie. And in the back room, you know, where a lot of cigar smoke, lots of big gold rings, and people smoking cigars, and a little China hat light, you know, kind of flickering, there's a big round guy that stepped out of the dark. And he was like a round guy with a head on it. And then his name was Guido. And he was one of the enforcer, you know, he was one of the collector enforcer guys, you know. And so my brother looks at me and he goes, hey, man, old Guido don't have a neck. And I said, yeah, I can see that. And he looked over at me and he and I are both kind of squatty. And, I mean, we're not quite 6 foot tall. We're not little bitty guys, but neither one of us have a neck. We got a head that sits on our shoulders. He said, "You don't have a neck either." And I said, "Well." So he started calling me Guido. And, so Clara Lynch heard about the story. She started calling me No Neck Guido from Toledo. And so I just decided I'd run with that. That's kind of cute, you know. And it is kind of. I mean, I'm not Italian as far as I know, but you know, I like those old movies. So my publishing company is NN Guido. Music Publishing, so that stands for No Neck Guido. I can't come up with much on my own, so I have to use other people's comedy or whatever. You know.
Well, being an older brother myself, I compliment your older brother on coming up with that.
Actually, that was my younger brother, but
he's
pretty smart too.
Now, one of the things that that I really enjoyed hearing about you was that at some point you were totally awestruck of Jerry Reed and the way he played, and he said something to you that I think was pretty important to you.
Yeah, he said a couple of things. I saw him live up in Buck Lake Ranch, Indiana, which is near Angola, northeast corner of Indiana. There's some lakes up there, and there was a family put on a they built a park up there. It was called Buck Lake Ranch, and it was a wooden like a log kind of front facade to the stage area. And then all the seating were split log seats, and it was, it must have sat 750 people or something. And I saw, my mom and dad would take us up there, and I saw everything from Carl Smith to Loretta Lynn to the Osborne Brothers to Jim Ed Brown to, Charlie Pride and Merle Travis and all Roy Clark, all these great artists, man. There would come Marty Robbins. My favorite show ever was Marty Robbins at that park. And Jerry Reed was there, and there was another stage later on that was over on the grassy area, and that was the smaller stage. So they would do one over there, and then they would come over to the main stage and do a set there. Well, I saw him. I was infatuated with everything, and so I told him. Well, I caught him leaving from that one stage to the other one. I said, "Man, Mr. Reed, can you sit down and listen to me and tell me if I'm any good?" And he said, "Son, it wouldn't matter what I think because it wasn't being any good." But he said, If you think you're good, do what I did, move to Nashville. You'll find out pretty quick. And he said, nobody's going to pay you to be Jerry Reed. I'm having a hard time doing that myself. So he told me to take what I learned off of his albums and things and make it my own. And so that's kind of what I've tried to do. And at about the same time, well, a little after that, when a lot of guys were trying to play like Tony Rice, and I'm glad that I heard that from him first because that really gave me, a good leg up into trying to create my own music. And so that's what I've been trying to do the last 40 years.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because one of the things you've really done is you've extended the way bluegrass players do the guitar work. I mean, you do an awful lot of really intricate finger picking. You don't just flat pick.
No, and I'll be honest with you though, Richard, if I'm playing in a bluegrass band, I don't usually pull my thumb pick out. I'm usually with the flat pick in my hands. And, the thing about it is it's not because I don't want to play finger style with that. Well, I guess it is, because I want to make it sound like what most people think is bluegrass music. Oddly enough or ironically, Lester Flatt and, Carter Stanley and Jimmy Martin and a bunch of them used the thumb pick early on.
Yeah.
So it was, later that they, that the flat pick was more of a staple of bluegrass rhythm playing. And there's some great ones. And so when I play bluegrass, I really try to keep the flat pick to my. And if somebody asks for something, like Jimmy Brown, the Newsboy, or something, then I'll pull my thumb pick out, because that's the way Earl did it. He did with banjo picks on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't carry banjo picks with me unless I'm playing banjo. But, and then I have a lot of other influences. I mean, I respect and love bluegrass, and when I play bluegrass, I'm very reverent, very respectful, and I want it to sound like bluegrass. I don't want to try to, give it some other kind of sound. I want it to sound as good as I can. I mean, I can't be Dan Cray or Tony Rice. I have to be me, but I've been influenced by all these people, Doc Watson and George Shuffler and Clarence White and all these great, Jimmy Martin, Dale McCurry, actually. And, I just try to be respectful and try to do, what I think works for the song for me. And then hopefully the audience don't mind it either.
Well, as I say, when I saw you play, I was just blown away. I mean, you do a wonderful job both. I mean, I think that night you also played with Clara Lynch. And you just fit right into that band just fine. But by yourself, you just took us all right into the palm of your hand. it was really a great show.
Thank you, Richard. But, I really felt good about what I was doing. But it was a synergetic thing. The crowd and myself, everybody was there for the right reason. We were there to enjoy music, and they allowed me to have fun. And I really am honored that they accepted me. Let me get up on the stage and do my thing. It was really a precious thing.
We've got time for one more song, and you and I both together have picked out one that you co-wrote with Don Kenny, All of This, Just One Man.
Right. that song is, you know, I'm a Christian, and I don't try to preach to anybody, but I'm not shy of it, and I sure as heck ain't ashamed of it. And, you know, I guess the song, when people hear it, I know friends of mine have given me feedback, and they say right at first it was unlike you, because the song has a little bit of a self-glorifying kind of look at me, look at what I can do, look how cool I think I am. Well, that's not the whole story. The whole story is that we all kind of work through this world, whether we're Christians or not. We try to put one foot in front of the other. We try to do the best we can, and we have to have some sort of joy out of it and have some fun with it, and maybe even have a little bit of pride with what we try to do. But the contrast of the song is that if you compare me to and what I try to do on guitar and performance and all the ways that I tried to make a living for my family to what Jesus did, what he accomplished in his short time here, there's no comparison. And so the story, you know, the line is, all this just one man. And it's really just a way to set up a real contrast of what Jesus really did. And it's not meant to offend anybody that don't believe in Jesus, but that's the way I believe, and that's where the song came from. And so we had a good time writing it. And part of it was just trying to play some guitar work behind it, too.
Well, it's a great song. It's going to be a great way to end this interview. I just can't thank you enough for taking time out to chat with us. Thank you, Jim.
Well, you're most welcome, and thank you for your time, because it really helps me do what I do, Richard. Thank you, and keep up the good work.
All right, well, you do the same. Here comes Jim Hurst from Looking Glass with All of This, Just One Man on WVUD.
Well, I've swept some floors, sold door to door, hauled freight straight to First Light. Still on the road, but now I'm delivering songs most every night. A husband, a brother, a father, a son, and my mama's biggest fan. May be hard to understand, but all of this in just one man. Well, I can keep the time and run a bass line and pick the melody. Lay down the solid rhythm, sing a lead and play harmony. Write, arrange, and record a song with only these two hands. May be hard to understand, but all of this in just one man. We've all been working hard for generations. Step by step we go on day by day. But there's one mighty cause for celebration. Heaven's gift to guide us on our way. A Savior born unto this earth upon a starlit night. For many years he walked his path, changing wrong to right. Mocked and persecuted, he taught love throughout the land. I know it's a lot to understand, but there's so much more to this one Son of God. He fed the multitudes with fish and some loaves of bread. Healed the sick, the lame, and the blind. That's what the Bible says. Crucified on Calvary, died but rose again, so we could have everlasting life. All of this, just one man, paid for our transgressions. All of this, and just one man, bought us all salvation. All of this, and just one man.
Thanks again to our guest, Jim Hurst. Tune in next Tuesday for the Music Room on WVUD.
Thanks for listening to the Music Room on WVUD. For more information about this and other episodes of the Music Room, including selections from the interviews and information about the music, visit us online at sites.udel.edu/TMR. Tune in next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.